This is the Behind Enemy Lines podcast on the Blood Red Channel, bringing you the inside track on Liverpool FC's next opponents.
Hello and welcome to the latest Behind Enemy Lines podcast on the Blood Red Channel. As the international break is over, we bring you a preview of this weekend's game against Arsenal that I'm sure fans of both sides are looking forward to very much indeed. I'm your host, Matt Addison, and I'm delighted to say that I've got Football.London's Bailey Keogh alongside me to give Blood Red the lowdown on Mikel Arteta's team ahead of the game. Bailey, welcome to the Blood Red podcast. Are you looking forward to this game, or is maybe a trip to Anfield not one that you can look forward to?
Yeah, thank you for having me, Matt. Of course, as an Arsenal fan, the trip to Anfield always scares me. I think we haven't won there in over 9 years now, so it is a worry every time the Anfield fixture does pop up. It's hard not to be scared, especially on the back of a Liverpool defeat as well. I know you guys are going to be hungry, coming out the blocks the fastest and wanting to make up for a defeat against West Ham. So it's going to be, I am worried, I can't lie. Definitely I'm worried.
Yeah, I suppose what will help with those obvious fears and understandable fears is the fact that Arsenal, I think, are on a 10-game unbeaten run. I think is it 8 in the Premier League, a couple in different competitions. I mean, does that sort of feel like the start of something for Arsenal? Has something clicked, or are you kind of just waiting for it to fall apart at some point and you're maybe not quite as convinced as you might be with that?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely convinced this time around. I think we went on a similar run under Unai Emery when we went on a 22-game unbeaten run. And I think people are trying to compare it to this time. And this time it's different because we look much more solid defensively. I think Mikel Arteta has a set team. He's not chasing it around. We have a set back four, a set goalkeeper. And I think that's definitely helping. I think you need to build up from the defence and go up to the attack. And I think that has really helped us this time around. And of course, a previous trip to Anfield last year or the year before, I would be even more scared than I am now. But with our how solid we are defensively, it definitely does have given me a bit more confidence than I would usually have. So it is a promising sign. It is steps to progress for sure. And you have to give Arteta praise for that, definitely.
Yeah, we'll come to sort of the job that he's done. But I mean, just in terms of this season, what's the feeling amongst Arsenal fans? Is it an optimistic feeling? Does it feel like, you know, they've taken that next step and there is kind of progress and signs that this is going in the right direction?
Yeah, there's a different buzz around the squad that we're not used to. I think Arteta has created a squad togetherness that Arsenal haven't been accustomed to over the last few years. I think with the introduction of Ramsdale, just the leadership to come in, Ben White, Gabriel, Tomiyasu, it's just a likeable squad. I don't think Arsenal fans can say that they like the team that they have now in the last few years. And I think that's been a big difference, is Arteta getting the squad together. They might not be as good quality-wise as we've seen in the previous years, but we have got a squad togetherness and a team that looks like they want to win. They'll fight for each other. We saw against Crystal Palace, it was a draw, but just the emotions after that to score the goal, everyone was hugging each other and it was great to see the celebrations. And I think we've seen that at Arsenal for a while now, and that's what Arteta's definitely brought into the club.
Yeah, let's speak about Mikel Arteta then. Obviously, he's been there a little while now, not obviously a new manager anymore. He's kind of settled and knows what he wants to do. How far along the line do you think he is? How much work has he already done, and how much work is there still to be done before you kind of see Arsenal in the way that Mikel Arteta wants them to be?
Oh, there's still a long way to go, I must say. We're at the start of something now. I think Arteta, since he's come in as manager, he's had his moments. We've had great moments where we've won the FA Cup against Chelsea. We've beaten Manchester United. We've beaten Liverpool, for example. And what we can't do is maintain consistency. We seem to have a major result and then we just slump again suddenly. We saw against Tottenham this season even. We had a major result and then against Crystal Palace, we came back down to earth again. And I think with Arteta, it's about maintaining this consistency. And the game against Liverpool will be a great signifier of how far Arsenal have actually come now. This will be a great chance to see if this is a real thing or if the form is just good form and Arteta has been getting lucky, as you could say, over the last 10 games. But there's definitely been progress. And yeah, so Arteta, this game, I think, against Liverpool will be definitely a good point to see how far we've actually gone.
What's the sort of aim this season for Arsenal? I mean, obviously, there's probably three teams that are going for the title. Are Arsenal trying to place themselves maybe just behind those teams? Is the Champions League on the agenda? Or what's the kind of feeling of what would represent success this season for Arsenal?
Yeah, I think coming into the season, the initial aim was just to get European football, whether that's Europa League, whether that's even Europa Conference League or the dream of the Champions League. And I think now with Arteta's excellent form and Arsenal's excellent change of form, we have started to dream of the Champions League, of course. We're just 2 points off second place now, and it is a real dream for us. And I think we do need to remain grounded. We do need to stay humble and just focus on getting an initial target that was European football. I think we have a great squad. Not playing European football this year is benefiting us because we can go to each game prepared properly. But again, we must be realistic. We're on great form. We just need to maintain our excellent form and go from there, really. I think not having, as I mentioned, not having Champions League football or Europa League football has allowed us to focus on the Premier League a bit more. And our summer success with the transfer window has given us a boost in our chances to get European football. And I think that has to stay as the main aim.
And in terms of sort of Mikel Arteta as well, I mean, is there still complete trust that he is the person to do it? And would it kind of... I suppose it sounds a bit harsh, but what would he have to achieve this season for him not to be the man moving forward? Is there kind of still complete trust in him from the Arsenal perspective, or is it a kind of case, well, he's got to get European football this season, or it might be back to square one again?
Yeah, I think the opening first three games where we lost all three of them, we conceded 9 goals and we're at the bottom of the league, we all lost trust in Arteta. I think the fan base as a whole was like, it's only a matter of time before he loses his job. But the turnaround, I don't think we've seen such a turnaround from a manager who's been under such huge amounts of pressure. And that has definitely gone in his favour. And now the fans are really starting to back Arteta. And we really believe that he can be the man to take us forward. Of course, the result is the football is results business, of course, so he has to show there. But once again, as I said, European football is crucial. And I don't think, as Arsenal, we've finished in eighth in back-to-back seasons, and that needs to change, unfortunately. So we have to get in the top seven, maybe top six places, and the trust for Arteta will be there. I think that will be considered a successful season. If we can get in the top six, definitely, I think Arteta can push forward from there. We just can't fall below eighth place, or even eighth place finish, I think, will leave some fans disappointed because they'll see no progress. Eighth place in 2020, eighth place in 2021, and now in 2022, we shouldn't be seeing that, especially when we spent 150 million in the summer transfer window, and we have a good squad without European football, so there'll be no excuse there. So Arteta really just need to break into the top six bracket, I'd say.
You mentioned those first three games of the season. I think there was a heavy defeat to Manchester City in there, wasn't there? And I suppose that this Liverpool game is a bit of a marker, isn't it, against that? I mean, do you sort of view Liverpool and City as a similar challenge? And I suppose what's the difference between the first three games and what Arsenal are now? Is there enough of a difference to make you think that Arsenal have got a real chance in this one?
Oh, absolutely, Matt. There's a major, major difference in the first three games. I think Arteta was unfairly judged in the first three games, in my opinion. We was hit by COVID with Aubameyang and Lacazette not being fully fit. We had major injuries to the squad, to our spine in Thomas Partey, Gabriel. Of course, Ramsdale wasn't introduced into the squad yet, so Bernd Leno was starting. We even started Siad Kolasinac and Cedric Suarez in that game against Manchester City, and they have not been seen in the Premier League since. I think that's just a big signal that a lot has changed since that further game against Manchester City. And I think we've also been able to bring in Tomiyasu, who's been excellent. Saka's gone on a right. We've also been able to utilise Smith Rowe in a different position rather than the central attacking midfield position. That's benefited us greatly, and we've grown so much from that third game against Manchester City. But if you had to say the difference between Manchester City and Liverpool, personally, I'm more scared to go to Anfield than I am to the Etihad. So this will be an even bigger test, I'd say.
Yeah, certainly a big test for both teams. I think obviously Liverpool off the back of the defeat to West Ham, as you mentioned, with a few injuries for themselves. It's not maybe been the easiest preparation for them. But I know there's been a few sort of question marks over a few Arsenal players as well heading into this one. I mean, we're recording this the day before the game, but what's the latest on the situation with Arsenal? Who's expected to be in this game and who's maybe expected to miss out?
So, of course, I think every Arsenal fan was worried about the fitness of Thomas Partey. We did not know if he would be fit. Of course, he didn't go on international break to Ghana. People were worried that he would not be ready for the game against Liverpool. But Arteta did confirm that he is okay and he is fit to play in that game. And I think that is crucial. He is probably, I said this earlier, he would be the most important player in this team against Liverpool just to hold composure and hold composure in the midfield, because I know when Arsenal go to Liverpool, we look lost, especially the first 15 minutes. Sometimes we've lost the game already, and Thomas Partey's experience in the midfield will be so important for the Gunners as we struggle at Anfield, and he can just calm the squad down a little bit, especially when we're under huge amounts of pressure. And of course, there was doubts about Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang because he, of course, stretched off in one of the games against Gabon, but he should also be fit for the game against Liverpool. And I know he'll be wanting to score as he has struggled against Liverpool. He hasn't scored against them. He hasn't scored against Jurgen Klopp yet. So that will definitely be one he'll be looking to change for sure.
Yeah, definitely. A couple of big players there. I mean, I'll ask you about Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang a little bit later, but I think you know, Thomas Partey is a big one for Arsenal. They spent a big amount of money on him. Have we, or have you seen anything like the best of him yet? Or is he still kind of settling his way into English football?
No, I feel like when Thomas Partey plays, you notice we are a complete different team without Thomas Partey. I think when Thomas Partey has been in the squad, we've been unbeaten. We haven't lost a game with him in the squad since last April, actually. So he is so important to the team. And of course, he hasn't shown the absolute levels he did at Atletico Madrid. But once again, once he comes into the Arsenal squad, there's a difference. Arsenal look much more secure midfield. We can dominate games. And he brings a presence that is noticeable. I think in major games this season that we have won, he's been the pivotal player. He's so good. And you know, Matt, in the game against, that's why he will be so important for the game against Liverpool. You saw in his performance in the Champions League in 2019-20 at Anfield, when, of course, he created major highlights that day. And I think he will be important for this game as well. He's just such an important player for Arsenal. And the only thing about his Arsenal career that has been judged negatively has been his fitness. He cannot maintain staying injury-free, and that is the big issue for him. But if he can do that, then Arsenal can really achieve big things with him in the squad.
Is that a kind of sign of what Mikel Arteta wants to do with this Arsenal team? It's all well and good having a philosophy and a way of playing and all of that sort of thing, but you've got to have those top quality players, haven't you? I suppose if you keep him fit, that's a huge plus. It doesn't really matter who your manager is. If you've got your best players fit, that's always going to be a huge help, isn't it?
Absolutely. We see Pep needs the best players. He spends the money. Klopp needs the best players as well. We saw he struggled with injuries last season. You need your best players to perform, especially on games like this when you're going away from home at a big ground under the lights. You need your best players there. You need the players with the experience. You need the players who are comfortable to get on the ball. And you need the players who can play the way Arsenal need to play. And I think Arteta needs Partey, as he is crucial for the team's success, as I've mentioned before. So Thomas Partey really will be an important piece. If Arsenal are to grab anything from Anfield, which we haven't done in a while, Thomas Partey will be probably the main player to control that.
Behind enemy lines on the Blood Red Channel.
Plenty of other players to look at, though. Aaron Ramsdale is one that I wanted to pick out. Obviously, another big money signing in the summer. Certainly, a lot of eyebrows raised at the fee that Arsenal paid. But he's proven quite a few people wrong, myself included. I'm happy to say, you know, I was pretty wrong about this one. He's come in and done really well, particularly the last couple of weeks. Some of the saves, I think there was one from James Maddison, wasn't there, in the Leicester game? I mean, there's been some really top quality moments from him. Is it a surprise to Arsenal fans just how good he is, or was that kind of something that you maybe saw coming more than opposition fans?
No, I'd be lying to you, Matt, if I didn't say I was worried about the price that we initially spent for him as well. I think every Arsenal fan are surprised and, of course, loving how good Aaron Ramsdale actually is. He's come in and he's just set the squad ablaze. I think he has been the main reason why Arsenal have been able to keep 7 clean sheets. So he's been so important to the squad, not just for his saves, but also for his leadership and controlling of the defence. You can see between every save, he's saying, come on, he's fighting with the players. I think there was a moment between him and Kieran Tierney against Burnley when we won 1-0 away, and they just had that little argument of when Kieran Tierney could have cleared the ball way quicker. But it's so good to see, because we're not used to that at Arsenal with the defence. Usually we're criticised for being too weak and not caring enough. But Ramsdale, he brings that real passion into the back line that we have missed at Arsenal. And he's just been a magnificent signing. And against Liverpool, he will be crucial, because I know Liverpool will be coming firing out of the blocks, and he will have shots firing at his goal. So he will need to make the saves. And we've seen the saves against Leicester, the James Maddison free kick, the Lucas Moura shot as well in the North London derby. That was crucial. Aaron Ramsdale has got the ability to keep clean sheets in big games. And I think he has been a real positive signing, arguably Arsenal's best signing of the summer. That has been a successful transfer window, in my opinion.
And it's not just sort of defensively from him as well. It's in terms of the distribution. We talk so much from a Liverpool perspective about Alisson and the big goalkeepers. That's huge, isn't it? And I think, you know, we spoke about the philosophy that Mikel Arteta had before. Again, if you have the right player in the right role, the same as Thomas Partey, it's a huge thing, isn't it? I mean, Liverpool fans know all too well how much of a difference Alisson made. I don't think Aaron Ramsdale has quite done that just yet, but there are signs that maybe that's in that kind of right direction for him.
Yeah, definitely. I think he's only 23 years old at the end of the day, and he has the ceiling so high for him. He can definitely reach that bracket. I think Arteta he was under Pep Guardiola. He was a coach under Pep Guardiola, and he saw how Edison affected the squad going forward and for the attacking phase of play. And I think Arteta has seen that in Aaron Ramsdale, and he can believe that Aaron Ramsdale will also be able to do the same thing. And I can see it as well. Aaron Ramsdale, he has got the potential, of course, in the game against Liverpool. So it'd be so important just to get the ball forward, to Aubameyang, like I said, to hold the ball up. And Ramsdale has the potential to to be a top keeper in the Premier League. And of course, he's already played for England now. I think he will be England's number one in a few years. I think there's no doubt in that. And that will just lead to his experience. And that'll be so helpful for him to become one of the top keepers in the world for sure.
Yeah, certainly a big part of the unbeaten run for Arsenal. Ben White, I wanted to ask you about as well. Obviously, just in front of the goalkeeper at centre-back. He's one that Liverpool scouted extensively and looked at, but decided not to go for him, probably, I think, because of the big price tag. But it was one that Arsenal did go for. I mean, how is he getting on? Have you been impressed with him so far? And obviously, it's early days to have justified a £50 million fee, but are there signs there that might happen at some point in the future?
Yeah, of course. I think with Ben White, he started off shaky. The opening game against Brentford did not help him or his nerves, because he came under huge scrutiny after that performance when Arsenal lost against Brentford. But since then, he's come on. He's done really well. I think it took him a little bit of time to get into the mood, but the introduction of Gabriel back into the side alongside him has really helped him just to push forward and gain some confidence in the squad. And now he's one of Arsenal's most important players. He has had some crucial moments in the game against Watford. He basically got the assist for Smith Rowe. In the game against Tottenham, he made that important tackle on Harry Kane when Arsenal went on to score through Bukayo Saka. So he is really an important player to Arsenal squad, and he has the potential to be, once again, another England starting centre-back. And he has been one of the most important reasons for the Arsenal success so far in the unbeaten run. He has played a major part in that for sure.
How big a test do you think it will be for him to come up against Liverpool? Is it, you know, in the same sort of way that it's a test for Arsenal as a team? Is this a big test for individuals like Ben White, Aaron Ramsdale to sort of win their own individual battles within this game? I suppose that would be just as much of a step forward, really, as it would be for Arsenal as a team collectively as well.
Yeah, I think, of course, you have to win your individual battle to win the game. And I think with Ben White not coming up against a direct striker, it will be interesting to see how he does. But of course, against for Brighton, when he was at Brighton, he played in a back three and he was on the right-hand side. So he wasn't usually one-on-one against a striker. So he might be used to this. He might actually benefit from this game against Liverpool. And we should see how he does. And it may be Gabriel who would be the one to struggle. But I think, yeah, individual battles in this game is crucial. And Ben White needs to step up. He needs to lose the nerves, because Anfield will be on his back every time he touches the ball, every time Aaron Ramsdale touches the ball too. And I think he's just keeping their composure. They're very young. They're still 23 years old. So they are going to make mistakes, but they just need to maintain focus. I think if you stay focused, then they should be fine. They should get through the game. But it's just about not making crucial mistakes in the most important moments and just playing your game usually and staying confident and composed.
Yeah, so we've talked about the goalkeeper, the defence and the midfield. Then let's go on to the attack. As I mentioned, we'll talk about Aubameyang at some point. But I wanted to sort of group Bukayo Saka and Emil Smith Rowe together, two players that have come a long, long way over the last few months. I have to say, I wasn't 100% convinced with Smith Rowe in terms of the end product and that sort of thing last season. But it seems like he's taken a big step forward this season. Obviously got his England debut during the international break. Are Saka and Smith Rowe guaranteed starters now for Arsenal? Have they sort of elevated themselves to a position where you just can't really drop them?
Oh, absolutely. They're the biggest reasons for Arteta's transformation this season, I think. As soon as Arteta changed the system and put Smith Rowe on the left and Bukayo Saka on the right, we suddenly started to see an attacking fluidity that we did not see at the start of the season. Despite the 1-0 wins against Burnley and Norwich, there was still no attacking phase of play. It wasn't good enough, but you put Bukayo Saka and Smith Rowe on the wings and suddenly our attacks transform. We have different routes of avenue where to attack. And of course, Smith Rowe's goal contributions have just improved this season. I think that's due to putting him on the left-hand side. He can run with the ball and cut in, and I think that's helped him a lot, and that's helped Arsenal a lot too. And Bukayo Saka, it goes without saying how good he has been. He's been crucial for Arsenal over the last couple of seasons now. He's arguably been Arsenal's best player, and this season he has really shown it too. And it's just great to see two young hell-end academy talents coming through and carrying the team, and it's just wonderful to see. And I reckon they can do that going forward as well, and it will be big players for Arsenal.
Yeah, Saka's another one of those players that was linked with Liverpool at one stage, obviously signs a new contract, was playing as a left-back at that point in time, which is only, you know, a couple of years or so ago. It does sort of prove just how far he has stepped up and kicked on. But I suppose that the opposite end of the spectrum, the person who he's kind of kicked out of the team on that right-hand side is Nicolas Pepe. Again, another one that a couple of years ago, Liverpool were linked with him all summer, refused to pay that £72 million. Arsenal shelled it out, and it just hasn't quite worked for him. I mean, obviously Saka has come through and taken his position in the team, but is there any sort of sign that Nicolas Pepe could come good? Are you any closer to working out how on earth Arsenal spent £72 million on him?
Yeah, Matt, when you say that, I wish you took bit the bullet and took him yourself. So honestly, I wish Liverpool signed him because Pepe, he is a good player, don't get me wrong, but I just don't know if Arsenal is the right place for him. I think he comes in, he has a couple of good performances, and then suddenly he loses that form and he loses his place in the side. I just don't think Arteta has the faith in him like he needs, to be honest. I don't think he's going to be able to break. How can he get into the side with Pepe, with Saka and Smith Rowe both performing the way they are? And with Pepe, his time's getting bleak. He has... at the end of the season, you have 2 years left on his contract, and Arsenal will really need to decide if we're going to sell him on or offer him a contract extension. But of course, there is a long way to go in the season, and Saka and Smith Rowe might come to injuries. There might be a place in another position in the squad where he can get in. So he does have time to revitalize his career at Arsenal, come back into the squad and perform again. But he does have time. It's just getting in and maintaining consistency, because he has had these moments at Arsenal where you think, oh, okay, now we see why he's worth 72 million. But then suddenly it just goes away again and he loses that form. And like, why did we pay that much for Pepe? It's just Pepe's time at Arsenal has just been a complete inconsistent time. And time is running low for him. I just don't see him getting back into Arteta's side anytime soon with the way Saka and Smith Rowe are performing at the moment, unfortunately.
Yeah, at least there are sort of other options that have come to the fore for Arsenal. So plenty of stuff to be excited about. But just before we finish, we've sort of touched on him a couple of times. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, he's never scored against Liverpool, never scored against Jurgen Klopp, as you mentioned before. But is it about time that run comes to an end? What's his season been like so far? Do you think it's likely that if Arsenal do score it, it will be through him?
With Aubameyang, that's him. This is him. He doesn't perform, but he will get the goal for you. He'll get the goals that you need. You think, oh, Aubameyang hasn't played well today, but he's on the score sheet. And that has been his career in the Arsenal show. I think he started off the season hard. It was tough for him because he had COVID. He had to recover from that, but he came back and started to get on the goal sheet once again. He started to score the goals that was important for Arsenal. And it's just the big games against Liverpool, Manchester City, where he suddenly goes hiding. I don't know what it is. I don't know if because Arsenal don't have enough of an attacking mentality to support Aubameyang in attacking areas. So maybe Lacazette might have to be the better option to Aubameyang in or against Liverpool. And Arteta may be thinking that, especially with Aubameyang's penalty miss and his poor performance against Watford, it might change Arteta's thinking. But Aubameyang does need to break that record. He does need to score against Jurgen Klopp, because Arsenal will need him on Saturday. Against Anfield, chances are very rare. And if one comes his way, he needs to take it, because chances are very hard to come by at that ground.
Yeah, I'm sure it's one that Liverpool will be keeping an eye on. They have been quite open at the back at times this season, but hopefully from a Liverpool perspective, at least they can be a little bit tighter on Saturday. But I think it should be a good game. I think that's fair to say. I think we'll bring the podcast to an end there. But just before we do, I'll ask you for a score prediction, how you think the game might go. I mean, for me, I see a Liverpool win. I think after the internationals, that time to reset, I can see maybe a 3-1, something like that. I think Liverpool might be able to get what they need from this one. But from the Arsenal perspective, what's the sort of prediction that you'd put forward? How do you sort of see this one going?
Look, I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to stick with Arteta. I think he's going to maintain his unbeaten run, but we will not win. I think it will be, I'm going for a 2-2 draw. 2-2 I'm going to go for.
Interesting stuff. Well, we will, of course, see what happens, and you can follow it across the Liverpool Echo, Liverpool.com and Blood Red, of course, in all of the usual places. For now, though, thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the rest of the build-up to the game, and for the rest of this week, it's goodbye for now.
You've been listening to the Behind Enemy Lines podcast on the Blood Red channel.